WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
And good evening again, everyone. Chad Holmes back again from Mosinee as we continue to be in a weather delay before this great Northern Conference football matchup between Wausau East and Mosinee. The rains that came through rather hard about 45 minutes ago have stopped, but we're just waiting out the completion of the weather delay. And we expect to be back here on the air as soon as the weather delay is over. So, again, we will have more action coming up here for Mosinee in just a few minutes. But we wanted to update you on where we stood, still in a weather delay. But, again, we expect football sooner rather than later. We'll be back probably at the latest 30 minutes from now, but likely about 20 minutes from now with further information as well. So we'll get back to regular programming here on 98.9 WXC.
The Packers prepare for Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers face the Browns in Cleveland Sunday at noon. Although they're now 0-2, the Browns showed a good run defense against the Bengals and the Ravens. Matt LaFleur.
Really good players across really their whole defense. That's a big reason they're the top-ranked defense in football right now. But they've got a lot of guys that are a hard-penetrating front that cause a lot of problems for quarterbacks.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers host Maryland, Saturday at 11 a.m. The Terrapins are 3-0, Wisconsin 2-1. The Brewers going for a sweep after beating the Angels again last night, 9-2 in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff with 10 strikeouts, allowing just one run on two hits, getting his 10th win of the season.
Tonight was a big outing for me in terms of just getting the body back acclimated. You know, it's been roughly 10 days or whatever it was, and yeah, it was huge for me to get back out there, and my body got going there in the second, and then everything kind of back to normal.
That's the Brewers' Brandon Woodruff with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. A nice assortment of films are opening this week in theaters. Afterburn stars David Bautista and Samuel Jackson. The story takes place after fire destroys Earth's eastern hemisphere and a treasure hunter sets out to find the Mona Lisa, but realizes that he needs to be a hero and save much more than just a painting. I have to say I'm intrigued, but there are no reviews in yet. Two films open wide that involve sports. Him is a horror film produced by Jordan Peele about a young athlete manipulated by an old pro. And The Senior stars Michael Chiklis as a 59-year-old former high school football player who returns to the gridiron to rectify history. It's rated PG, and there are only 7 reviews in, but they are all positive so far. Sounds like a feel-good. And if none of those titles grab you, you might want to check your local listings, as Apollo 13 is being re-released in a limited run. If nothing else I mentioned is to your liking, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and Tom Hanks as an astronaut might be just what you need. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the upper 50s, high tomorrow in the low 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. It's 71 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the state of free speech in the U.S. Also, what's going on with the Epstein files. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. So happy to have Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, back on this week. And we're going to have an intense talk here, all four segments with Robert, if he has the capacity, because I know he's a busy guy. But a lot going on, and a lot going on with Native American Community Development Institute, too. I was just down there, too, and saw the great booklets that they're handing out, and the market happened today, and it was good to be down there and see relatives. Robert, thank you so much for coming on, as always.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. Were you at the market today? I must have missed you.
Yeah, I was there for about a half hour. Yeah, I got there early. I had a pre-record I had to do at this studio out in Eden Prairie with a client. And so it was short-lived there. And then I was checking out what's going on at the Indian Center on the 25th. I'm going to do a live show there. And that's on your Thursday. So we're going to, for the gala there. And and I know you guys have two tables. So I'm going to bring one of my portable chairs and join you. Oh,
you're always welcome. Yeah, that's a great place to start. Next Thursday is the 50th anniversary gala of our Minneapolis American Indian Center. It should be great. Originally, NACD, our organization, was just going to take one table, but so many people were interested in attending, we expanded it to two. I'm sure we could squeeze you in there, Robert, if you need a place to sit. But yeah. This is a big deal, 50 years, and folks who listen regularly probably know that we just have a new renovation and addition, and it's just spectacular. So there's a lot to celebrate there.
Yeah, it really is. And a former student of mine, Bobby Wilson, will be there too as MC, and I do believe.
So yeah, when he's and I see he's doing a couple of MC gigs while he's here.
Yeah, yeah, he did one at the Indian Center with I believe it was the food. God, they were just at your market too. They did a thing on Sunday, and he was
yeah. Dream Wild Health.
Thank you. Yeah, God,
they do their food, Native food tasting event, which is so very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and Bobby Wilson was emceeing for that.
Well, and if people aren't aware who Bobby Wilson is, he's a writer, comedian, a 1491er, also Reservation Dogs writer. And he also was in one of the, he acted in one of the series. I remember he owned a head shop. And also he was with Rutherford Falls. He was a regular on Rutherford Falls.
He was a regular. He was a writer there as well. And yeah. One of them, he's very funny, very talented, super successful. And one of the things I really am always impressed by with Bobby Wilson is how respectful he is to people and respectful he is to us elders, Robert. And that amazes me. And something I will never forget about him is that he was actually born in a house in the Phillips area. And he's probably one of the youngest people that I've ever met that had a home birth. But so folks who aren't from Minneapolis will know Phillips area is kind of the core of the Native community as well. So I just think that's fascinating.
Well, if you have the capacity, I'd love to have you join me and we can wrangle in some people on that day. I know you'll be busy shaking hands and stuff, but we'll start at 5 and people will be rolling in about the time we go live. So just throwing that out there. No, if you're busy, you know, putting your tucks on and things like that, I understand, but
I'm going to be busy eating. I'm going to be busy.
That doesn't happen till 7 though.
So. No, I would love to be on and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great room to work.
Yeah.
And I just love that in our community, we have rooms to work. Right. And so,
right.
I'm really looking forward to it.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. We really didn't have it, right? We didn't have that place to see and be seen and connect with community leadership and things. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's. I'm just taking pause on that. That's exactly right. Jeez, good point.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll know this back in the day. So folks who are familiar with the American Indian Culture Corridor on East Franklin Avenue, we'll be familiar with a restaurant called Maria's. Maria is an Ecuadorian immigrant, it opened up as this little tiny one storefront restaurant. Now it's expanded to several storefronts. It's in the ancient traders building, a native owned building. And when it opened, I was in politics. I was a Minneapolis City Council member, and that became my go-to place to meet with folks and to schedule breakfast or lunch meetings. Yeah. And it's just a wonderful success story. When it first opened, East Franklin was kind of rough. And I remember the legendary tales of Maria's staff having to literally fight their way into work in the mornings, you know, through some of the criminal elements that were hanging out there. But I loved it from the beginning because it became a go-to spot for a lot of politicians or public people. And I was like, dang, here in Phillips, we didn't used to have a place to sort of see and be seen. And, you know, now we do. And now we have several. But back then it was really a new feeling. And I'm so proud of our community and our neighborhoods that we produced a place like that, and people clamor to be there, right? So
yeah, you're absolutely right. What's interesting too, I was able to, because I was going out to Eden Prairie where the AM 950 is after heading out there, got to pass Maria's, but also before that with the Native American Community Clinic, that place is hopping right now. Jeez.
Right. So another one of our legacy organizations, Native American Community Clinic, they are in process of constructing an incredible new facility, 6 stories, 2 stories of services, and then 4 stories of housing, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a big deal. I mean, this is like skyscraper kind of construction, you know, concrete construction, sort of a disruption. There's no parking anywhere around the area, but man, it's a huge enhancement to the community, to the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And it's one of about, what, 6 major projects that are either in process or recently been completed, like the American Indian Center, or planned right in the Native community, Native-led projects. And so this is exciting. This is growth. This is, you know, how I view it. And again, being an elder, I just turned 65 this last summer. You know, and we were given such gifts from our elders and ancestors that founded American Indian Movement, and this density of Native organizations and services and presence along East Franklin Avenue in that area of American Indian Cultural Corridor. And so I'm concerned that about what we do with this legacy, right? And so I really feel it being kind of in this, you know, generational trajectory, and just to see these things building on what was given to us by our, you know, our recent ancestors, I feel like, yeah, okay, we're doing them proud, right? This is this is what we should be doing. And so it's very gratifying to see.
Well, I am totally, we have more to talk about with the Avenue and what's going on, and what's going on with Native American Community Development Institute. So I'm really happy that we started out in a good positive vibe here, because we got to get later on in the show talk in the trenches. And I'm so happy that you could be with us
for
the whole hour, Robert. And I saw what you were doing last week, and my daughter was waiting tables on the mayor at the same event that you were at. So that was
Dinner du Nord.
Yes, that was very cool. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. We are with Robert Lilligren. It's the Robert Show. It's the only person missing is Bob Blake from Red Lake, I think.
We'll have to have him on next week.
Yeah, we'll have to change the name of the show. Hey, and you're CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And yeah, a lot going on the Avenue, too, and a lot of positive things.
A lot. And one thing I'd love to talk about is, I don't know if you caught this, but this week on Good Morning America, they featured the Red Bears, which is a youth program. Yes. Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Somebody posted it. Yes.
Yeah. So this is an incredible youth athletics program. There's a really amazing community leader, Mukwa Roberts, who kind of reinvigorated the whole program. And so it's multiple sports, football, basketball. And he's really rebuilt the whole program from the ground up. And it was just, it's inspiring. Southside Red Bears, they call them. And our organization, NACTI, supports them by being their fiscal agent, which is great. But those guys are just doing it. And so they were featured on Good Morning America. They were presented a $10,000 contribution and one of those great big checks on the air. And knowing Mukwa and the incredible work he does in the community, he can go to a lot with $10,000. And so it was just good to honor Mukwa, to honor our youth that participate. And we know what the outcomes, what improved outcomes we see when our youth are participating in programs like the Southside Red Bears.
Yeah, wow. Really good point. I'm really glad you brought that up, too. I got to get somebody on to talk about that. Really, it's amazing the good things that are happening in Indian country, despite what's happening nationally. It's just an amazing time we're living in. And, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but after you have any more great things to talk about. I know you had a great update on, we've talked about it a couple times, where you have that great magazine with all the native businesses and that thing.
Yeah, businesses and services. We call it the Resource Guide, the Community Resource Guide. And we just published a new version of it very recently. It's online as well at our website, NACDI.org, NACDI.org. And so we launched the online version first. We just recently released the print version. And we had an event at the Minneapolis American Indian Center last Friday, a little reception. And I mean, dozens, hundreds, scores, maybe hundreds of people came and took a lot of copies of it. And it's as comprehensive as we can make it. It has services, you know, health services, housing. It has businesses. On the back of it, there's a QR code where you can upload your business information, which you can put on the website right away, the online version. We can put in the next print version. And it's just, NACTI produced one of these about 12 years ago. Yeah. Wasn't nearly as comprehensive or extensive as this one, or quite as beautiful. We have cover art from Jonathan Thunder, renowned artist, and people kept saying for years, even just very recently, they'd stop into our office and say, oh, do you have any of those guides left?
Wow.
Those resource guides from 12 years ago. And we're like, yeah, no, the new one's coming out. And we were able to leverage funding from the state, the health department, from a local health provider, Alina. We were able to bring on permanent staff, M. Mattson, and they just did a marvelous job on this and beefed up NACTI's storytelling in our communication so we can tell our story, but the community story even more thoroughly. And so it's just been a home run. People are loving it. People stopped in at the event on Friday at the Indian Center and they were saying, oh, I'm so glad you did this again. I've missed this. We needed this thing, you know, and people are really excited about it. They're taking cases of them to their own organizations and things. So, you know, people are on the corridor. You can stop in just about anywhere, I'm sure, and they would have some out. Or go online at NACTI.org and check out the resource guide.
Yeah, well, I saw them. They were out with the magazines at the coffee shop today. I saw those.
Oh, nice.
They had a nice little setting there. Nice. That's excellent. So next week, too, you have an important job. I do believe it's the same day. It's the same day as
the gala.
Yeah, and it has to do with pickles.
Yep, and you'll be there too, right? So,
well, I found out that I didn't return an email, so I'm not on those. I'm not on the.
They run a tight ship there at Four Sisters Farmers Market.
I was surprised and sad, but I still get some pickles.
You show up, right? So we're having we partner NACTI and Indian Health Board. Locally partner and hold our pickle off. It's a contest, a pickle contest. And I just love it. This is our fourth annual.
I don't know. I think I've missed one. You know.
Yeah, the first one was over at Little Earth, but their farm. And we kind of combine a little bit of politics, you know, and voter registration and voter outreach. We invite candidates to be present, where this is a municipal election year here in Minneapolis. And so there's categories, spicy, sweet, dill, and those are cucumber categories. And then there's the other pickle. So yes. You can pick a lot more than cucumbers. And man, people really respond. They love it. So This will be, I'll be a judge. I thought you were going to be a judge, too bad. Maybe next year. Emails, Robert. And then, but it's fun and community comes together. We're actually going to block off the whole street out in front of NACTI on 15th Avenue there. Oh. And have a kind of street fair, make a street fair out of it. And our market manager, Destiny Jones, Ho Chunk Woman, really has amped it up a little. And then Indian Health Board's Cassandra Holmes as the key driver and organizer. And so it's going to be fun. And if folks are wondering about it, the NPR will be there as well. You'll be there. Media will be there.
Yeah.
And NPR did a great story last year. Melissa Olson, native reporter at Minnesota Public Radio, did this great story. There's this hilarious picture of me sniffing on one of the pickle entries there, you know, getting the smell test. And so they're bringing a whole cadre of reporters this year. So it's going to be big.
Yes, it is going to be big, and it's exciting, and people will be able to taste the pickles, too, so it's not just the judges, and that's what I like, is to get a little bit of everything.
Right, and we're doing it in a much more sort of orderly and hygienic way to get the tasting out there, and people are delivering their pickles early. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun, so I encourage people, that's next Thursday, 11 to 3. Right in front of our building, the yellow building with powwow grounds and all my relations arts, and the street will be blocked out. There'll be music and things. So yeah, come on down. And another cool thing. What's that?
No, I said, go ahead. I was going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. No. NACTI is also sponsoring a short film festival this Saturday, 6:30 to 9:30 at all my relations arts gallery. Oh, I think that's where it is. I shouldn't be telling people if I don't.
Yep. I saw some of the names of the short films, and Ajawak, who was in he's a prominent actor and director and filmmaker, and he was in Iron Horse, I think. Was it called Iron Horse or Indian Horse? Indian Horse,
the movie.
You can see in Netflix. He's got a movie, and I saw that.
He's got a movie, and it's called The Comedian. He does, Ajawak's. Former NACTI staffer Elizabeth Day has a short in there called How the Bear Got a Short Tail. But there's 2, 4, 6 films. And so this is the first time we've done this in our All My Relations Arts Gallery. It's the brainchild of our gallery program director, Juliana Enright.
Yes.
And so she just took this and ran with it. And it's really going to be something.
Well, what I'm really excited, we got let me check the clock here. We only have a minute or two left that we haven't talked any politics. We've just talked about joy. And I really, really like that. And one of the things, too, I was talking to somebody who's not from here, kind of about, you know, natives really stepping forward the last couple decades. And there's things that we're doing. There's things that are happening. We have strong economic development. We have all these things that weren't there at one time, and we should be proud. And here in the Twin Cities, should be really proud of what's happening, you know, on the Culture Corridor, but also all over the Twin Cities and the state.
And the state and the country of the world. I just had a conversation today with a new NACTI board member, brilliant young emerging Native leader. And I was saying to her, we were having this conversation about how... with all the troubles in the world and all the damage we've done to the world, you know, I think indigenous solutions are the solutions, right? And so now that's starting to percolate up. And as our former art gallery director, Rory Wakemup, used to say, everyone's indigenous from somewhere. It's just the amount of time it's been since you were colonized, right? So how do we all find our way back to this indigeneity, which is inherent in all of us, really?
Exactly. And you and I have talked about that, too. And
you're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show. CBS News Brief. A CDC advisory committee votes to no longer recommend the combined MMRV vaccine before age 4, but they can receive separate doses. CBS's Mark Strassman on what's next.
Two votes scheduled for tomorrow, one involving a vaccine for hepatitis B for infants, a second for COVID-19 for the rest of us.
Jimmy Kimmel has yet to comment on his ABC show suspension over his comments about Charlie Kirk's death. Employment attorney Marjorie Mesidor says Kimmel could have a First Amendment claim for wrongful termination.
We cannot ignore the timeline of the FCC commissioner's comments and the response by the network to pull the show.
Authorities in New York County, Pennsylvania say three officers who died and two who were wounded yesterday were ambushed by a stalking suspect. CBS's Tom Hansen.
We are learning the shooter, he used an AR-15 style rifle, and we all know at this point, we are all too familiar with how damaging those bullet wounds can be.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
The Packers prepare for Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers face the Browns in Cleveland Sunday at noon. Although they're now 0-2, the Browns showed a good run defense against the Bengals and the Ravens. Matt LaFleur.
Really good players across really their whole defense. That's a big reason they're the top-ranked defense in football right now. But they've got a lot of guys that are a hard-penetrating front that caused a lot of problems for quarterbacks.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers host Maryland, Saturday at 11 a.m. The Terrapins are 3-0, Wisconsin 2-1. The Brewers going for a sweep after beating the Angels again last night, 9-2 in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff with 10 strikeouts, allowing just one run on two hits, getting his 10th win of the season.
Tonight was a big outing for me in terms of just getting the body back acclimated. You know, it's been roughly 10 days or whatever it was, and yeah, it was huge for me to get back out there, and my body got going there in the second, and then everything kind of back to normal.
That's the Brewers' Brandon Woodruff with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first three episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the upper 50s, high tomorrow in the low 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. It's 71 right now.
On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team plays host to Wisconsin Rapids in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, and K5 Construction. It's Wausau West taking on Wisconsin Rapids in high school football. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 on Wausau's only radio home for high school play-by-play. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Stuart Waddles. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to Mosinee High School as we are ready for football. It'll be about an hour and 40 minutes after the scheduled kickoff time, but it will be great Northern Conference football as the Wausau East Lumberjacks take on the Mosinee Indians. Again, I'm Chad Holmes, joined by Paul Micklick. And Coach, about 100-minute delay? Did not start the game. Teams have had an opportunity to warm up. Looks like we did get some rather heavy rain, but it looks like the field's in pretty good shape. So things have calmed down as well. So it's pretty nice conditions, actually, to start things off.
Yeah, cooled down a little bit. The humidity left. And when I went to get a hamburger, I walked on that field, and it looked like it's in pretty good shape.
All right. So, again, Wausau East comes in with an overall record of 1-3, 0-2 in the Great Northern Conference. So far in the GNC, the Lumberjacks fell 11-10 2 weeks ago at Tomahawk. And then last week, after taking an early 14-0 lead, saw the Rhinelander Hodags come back and defeat the Jacks by a score of 28-14 at Tom Field. Mosinee, meantime, they won here 2 weeks ago in their conference opener, 21-14 over the Merrill Blue Jays. And then last week, they made the trek up to Minocqua, fell behind 24-7 at halftime, tried to come back, scored 13 points in the fourth quarter, but came up short 24-20. So again, both teams trying to bounce back from losses last week and try to get another step towards the Great Northern Conference and also a step towards the postseason playoffs. As we talked about in our pregame show, Treve Stoffel, what an outstanding performer for Mosinee and for Wausau East, a player they'll have to keep an eye on both on the offense and on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the better players, without a doubt, in the area, and he can do it with running the game. He can do it with the passing game. Like you said, he can do it on defense. So he's definitely the total package, and that's where the focus, I'm sure, will be for Wausau East.
And for Wausau East, when they have the football, they have a number of players that have proven to be big play players. You got the running back, Ian Stahl, got a couple of really dangerous receivers, and Caden Meverden, and also Henry Maz, and the quarterback, Xander Klein. So, again, the different options for Wausau East.
They got to get the running game going right away early and establish that run, especially with the turf being a little, it's probably going to get worse as the night goes on, and they have to be able to establish a run, and then you can pass off of that. So I'm sure they'll do a great job of that and get it off to a running start. He's a tough running back. It was fun watching him week one, and I'm excited to watch him on this turf. As a running back, you know where you're going. They don't know where you're going. So it makes this slippery surface advantage to the running backs or the guy with the ball in their hands.
Absolutely. So it looks like we are finally ready to go, and thanks to everybody for sticking around and staying with us and ready for some Thursday night high school football. And glad to be with you. Wausau East wearing the white jerseys, the white pants, the red numerals outlined in black, the red helmets, WE on each side. Mosinee in the home purple. Purple jerseys, purple pants. They usually wear a dark gray type of pants, but tonight, senior night, they've gone with purple on purple, white numerals, white helmets with the traditional Mosinee M on each side. And it looks as though the Wausau East Lumberjacks will kick things off to get things underway. Wausau East will be going from right to left as we look out onto the field here in the first quarter of play. Again, the winds have calmed down after some really heavy winds that came in with that storm about a little more than an hour and a half ago. Back deep for Mosinee on the left-hand side is number 7, Omar Ingram, and Bryson Savakis is lined up on the right-hand side. Kicking things off for the Lumberjacks is Gio Gomez. Everybody ready to go? The Mosinee student section, they've been chanting, "We want football," and they're going to get some football. Here comes Gomez and his approach, and we are underway. It's a low liner. It'll take a skip right past the return man, and it will roll into the end zone, and it will be a touchback. I think for a moment there that Bryson Savakis started to get a little nervous that that ball was going to get to the end zone.
You know, an interesting thing is that was a little different kickoff than they had when we first went to Westby, so looks like they did a good job. They weren't going to let those returns.
So Treve Stoffel will jog into the huddle, leading the way for Mosinee. He is a senior, 6'4" tall, 200 pounds, both a quarterback on the offensive side, a defensive back on the other side of the football as well. Mosinee will come out with receivers split left and right. Pistol formation. Treve Stoffel takes the snap. It's a handoff. Left-hand side trying to turn the corner. Nowhere to go. It's being brought down is Carter Vandre. And that will be a loss on the play on first down.
And Aiden Kildy was in there again with Xander. Xander, is he playing? I don't know if he played both ways.
Yes, he did, actually.
Yes, he did. Okay. Both of those guys were in on that tackle. They stretched it out real nice on that play defensively.
And Aiden Kildy, I was talking to the coach at practice yesterday, and he said that he's going to be somebody that will need a big game, and he expects a big game. He's been playing some really good football for Wausau East. Three receivers off to the right-hand side, one to the left. Not an empty backfield. There's the snap. Looking to throw is Treve Stoffel. He'll fire it over the middle. He's got his man in a big collision. And separating the receiver from the football is Caden Meverden, getting to his feet a little slowly for Mosin-A, the intended target, Alex Stepke, but an incomplete pass.
That's one of those ones that third play of the game, and you're going down the middle, and the safety has a free shot on you. And you don't want to get hit in that. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good anytime.
That ball was right on target from Stoffel, but boy, the hit was big from Caden Meverden. And now Wausau East faces a third down and 14 yards to go from their own 16-yard line. Still a four-receiver set, three to the right, one to the left. Treve Stoffel in the pistol takes the snap. It is a fake handoff. Up the middle, Stoffel breaks a tackle, 20 to the 25, falls forward, close to the first down, but he'll be brought down, looks like about a yard short of the first down at the 29-yard line. So a 13-yard pickup, and that will leave a fourth down and 1 yard to go.
They had a nice hole there, did a little trap play up the gut here, and it'll be interesting to see here how aggressive you want to be.
You're exactly right. And in this era of football, we see so much aggression. It's so different than 15, 20 years ago.
It depends on what you have, how comfortable you are with, are you comfortable with Stoffel getting a yard?
Well, it looks like Mosin-A is comfortable with Treve Stoffel trying to get a yard because Mosin-A is going for it on fourth and one. There's the snap, and keeping it is Stoffel, left-hand side, and he dives forward just beyond the 30. And for a moment, it looked like the Lumberjacks may have had him, but just finding enough to dive forward to the 31 is Stoffel and move the sticks.
They did have him. They stretched him out, and he just dove on the outside to get that yard. And, it's crazy to think that you can go from the greatest coach in the world with a call to could be the worst if you don't make that play.
So Mosin-A keeps their drive alive. First series of the game. Again, if you just joined us, you expected this game to be in the second half. We're just underway after a weather delay. 10:05 to go first quarter, still no score. Again, a spread look here for Mosin-A football. Near the left-hand hash. Three receivers on the right-hand side, one to the short side of the field. This time under center is Stoffel. It's a fake handoff. He'll go to the right-hand side, finds room. Up to the 35, to the 40. He'll be spun forward to about the 43-yard line, but that will be enough for a first down, a pickup of a dozen for Stoffel.
When you're saying he's going to our center, he's actually not. He's actually 2 yards, a yard off. It's a short shotgun, and basically it gives him that ability to get to the outside. They had trips on that side, and they just broke it down to the outside.
My eyes are deceiving me in my old age, and you're exactly right. As they get closer to our broadcast position, about 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage is Treve Stoffel. He starts the count, takes the snap. It is a option. Pitch out, left-hand side. Fondre trying to get to the corner, 45 to the 50, to the 45, and he'll be wrapped up in Wausau East territory at about the 41-yard line. But Carter Vandre on a good pitch by Stoffel, and the sticks will be moved again. That will be a pickup of about 15 yards on the play.
He was coming in to tonight with eight carries and 31 yards. They have a couple of those running backs out, and he's getting his chance. He looked real nice on that. It was a nice option, well-designed. And with this weather, when you run the option, you're taking a chance, and sometimes you got to take a chance to be successful.
And again, talking to the coach yesterday, noticed that Stoffel a lot of the times will keep the football himself, and you want to try to make him pitch it. In that case, it was a good decision made by the Mosin-A QB. So now Mosin-A in Wausau East territory for the first time tonight, 1st and 10 for the Lumberjack 42-yard line. Stoffel takes the snap. Another option, pitch out, right-hand side, 40, opening 35. Oh, fumble at the 30, and the Lumberjacks will have it! A fumble was Omar Ingram with the run on the right-hand side. He coughs it up after he picked up about 10 yards, and the Lumberjacks will pick it up at their own 29-yard line.
He tried to explode through that hole. He did explode through that hole. When you do that, you better hold on to that ball. the nice hit, and it jarred through, especially with this weather, the ball being a little slick, and East recovers.
So a big turnover, and the Lumberjacks, they took advantage of a pair of Rhinelander turnovers early last week. In fact, on the first two series, led to touchdowns. They'll try to do it again here tonight as Wausau East comes to the line of scrimmage. First and 10 from their own 29-yard line. Two receivers to the right, wing back on the left-hand side, looking to throw. Fire on the right-hand side, complete. Not much room to run, and Henry Moss will be wrapped up and brought down. In fact, at or just behind the line of scrimmage. It'll depend on the mark. They'll mark it right at the line of scrimmage. No gain on that completed pass.
They came up on the outside. The cornerback came up, trying to take that away. They're playing with their cover two over there. It'll be interesting to see if they're going to try to attack that running game. They're playing with that 43 there and see if they're going to keep attacking it.
8 minutes even to go in the first quarter. Still no score. Wausau East first offensive possession. Second and 10 from the 29-yard line. Moss to the left-hand side. Meverden to the right. Again, looking to throw his Klein. He'll fire. He's got his man, but just a tad behind Meverden. Tried to stop on the right-hand hash at the first down sticks, but could not bring that in. And now third down and long for Wausau East.
He was open. Yep. It was just a tad behind him. And it's tough to stop there with on the field there with the weather condition. And right now you can see this ain't the same line that we saw a couple weeks ago. So it's a little different trying to get their footing here.
So the Jacks back to the line of scrimmage. They need 10 yards to keep this drive alive. Third down and 10. Receivers left and right. Xander Klein takes the snap, looking to throw. Has time. He'll fire over the middle, and he's got his man complete. Beyond the 40 to the 42-yard line. Not a big window, but able to throw it in there and make the grab for Wausau East. That is number 47. That is Aiden Kildy, who saw him on defense, and that time able to bring that one in, and that will be a pickup of 13 yards and a first down.
And that was in triple coverage, and he took the funny thing is you'd have thought that he was going to take the hit. He actually delivered that hit to those three guys on there. Good throw.
Yeah, I mean, there was, again, not much of a window, but he put it in there, and Kildy was able to wrap it up and get enough for the first down. There's a handoff. Big opening this time. Ian Stahl. And Stahl will get beyond the 45 to the midfield stripe. And that will be a pickup of 8. A good first down play for Wausau East. Second down and 2 yards to go. But again, he is quick when he gets that football.
You know, when they're playing a cover two, I don't want to keep beating it here, but they're going to have that, especially with him and his ability to make guys miss, he's going to get 3-4 yards every time before he even gets hit.
So right at the midfield stripe are the Lumberjacks, second down and 2 yards to go. Ball on the left-hand hash. There's the snap. It's a handoff. Again, opening, spinning off a tackler, falling to the 48. Right at the first down sticks is Ian Stahl. I think that will be enough. Yeah, they're going to mark it at the 47-yard line, so a gain of 3 and a first down. So Lumberjacks able to get a second first down as we near the midway point of the first quarter. 6:25 to go in the quarter. Still no score, but seeing a mixture. Came out throwing the football. Now back-to-back runs for a first down for Ian Stahl.
Yeah, Landon Tim from Moe's Knee made a nice tackle. He didn't get hit until he got those 3 yards, and he made a nice tackle in the hole. There is nobody else there.
Lumberjacks back to the line of scrimmage. This time both Moz and Meverden on the left-hand side, short side of the field. Again, Xander Klein takes the snap. Play action, looking to throw. Fires right-hand side. He's got his man. With it is Ian Stahl. Stahl inside the 45. Breaks a tackle. Falls forward to about the 41-yard line. Got knocked off balance. Was able to keep the feet and then fall forward to get a couple of extra yards. That will be a solid pickup on first down. Pickup of about 6 yards on the play. And again, first down, you want to be playing ahead of the sticks. And second and 4, as a play caller, that gives you a lot of options.
It was a well-designed play. They got that running back out to the flat. That's almost like a run. You have him catch it 3-4 yards, and he gets 7.
3 out of 4 early, 19 yards for Xander Klein. Ball on the right-hand hash, 2nd and 4. Klein looking to throw. He'll fire right-hand side. Again, he's got his man complete near the first down sticks, getting pushed out of bounds for the Lumberjacks.
Complete to number 84.
And trying to see who number 84 is for the Jacks. Somebody's got a new number here tonight for Wausau East. So,
who was third?
I heard the name there from the. We'll get that information.
We'll get that.
But it is a third down and about a yard and a half to go. Under center this time is East. Handoff. This time an opening for Kildy, and he'll go right up the middle inside the 35 to about the 33-yard line. That time going with the big back is Wausau East on third and short and able to move the sticks. It will be a pickup of 7 yards on the play.
Running downhill. He was going to go downhill, and with this field condition, weather, Mosley's having difficulties getting guys on and off the field here.
So Lumberjacks right back to the line of scrimmage, dropping the ball, but picked up and really not a lot there. Pushing forward for a short gain for Wausau East is Xander Klein. It will be a gain of about 2. Second down and 8 yards to go.
Well, it was high tempo because they had the guy. He was still running on the field there. He saw that, and he wanted to get that quick call there, and there was a hole there.
So time-consuming drive right now for East. Under 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Again, it is second and 8 from the Mosinee 32. They hand off, looking to throw a line, right hand side, and over the top of Aiden Gilley, and that will be incomplete. Interesting to see Gilley becoming a big factor in the offense. It's not been the case all season long, but it shows here that Mosinee is throwing everything at Mosinee.
And sometimes it's different games, it's different opponents, different situations, and obviously they think that he's good for this team, and with his power, and I would agree with him.
Third and 8 now from the Mosinee 32-yard line. Lumberjacks needing the 24-yard line for a first down. Klein. Long count takes the snap. Straight back, looking to the throw. He's rushed. He'll fire it. It's incomplete. That time, quick pressure by Mosinee. Really nothing that Xander Klein could do. As coming in, getting the initial pressure for Mosinee was number 84, Braden McConville, sophomore. And now fourth down and 8.
They keep on the outside, and he's coming free, and they're picking him up with a running back usually, and that's a tough block for a running back time and time again. So at the time he got through.
Too far away for a field goal, too close to the punt, so 4th and 8, Wausau East will be going for it. They will have three receivers off to the right-hand side, two to the left. Empty backfield for Klein. Klein takes the snap. Klein looking to the throw. Klein. Now he's hit. He'll fire it. He's got it back complete to the 20-yard line. Bringing that one in for East is Tanner Kostrowski. That is a gain of a dozen and a first down.
And the DN was in there, and he barely was untouched, and heck of a job standing in there, standing in the pole, and throwing that ball, basically looking at the, you know, right foot down the shoot there.
And Klein, I mean, he really, sometimes those feet get a little happy. He was so calm in the pocket, even with that pass rusher coming in. So now, first and 10 for Wausau East from the 19-yard line. There's the snap. It is a handoff hit off the pile. It is Ian Stahl, and he goes backwards for a short loss on the play. He hit a brick wall up front and then kept his feet, but Carter Bondre getting the tackle. He's second in the line.
He couldn't make that cut right away just because of the penetration that Mosinee had in that backfield. And then when he did, it was just too late.
And frankly, it's not surprising right now because the Lumberjacks, as you said, a couple of their linemen are not out there right now. They're handling pretty well. I mean, Mosinee is putting some pressure on, but Mosinee is still making some plays. Pitch on the left-hand side, still trying to get to the corner, cuts back. Inside of the 15, keeps his feet, and falls forward. Close to the first down near the 10-yard line. A pickup of about 11 yards on the play. It's going to depend on the spot. It looks like it will be third down and short. Yep, third down and a yard here for Wausau East.
When they get him on space, he's tough to get down. And at that time, they did a nice job, and they pitched a nice block on the outside.
2 minutes and 35 seconds to go in the first quarter. Still scoreless. There's a stand up. Ian Stahl finds the seam. Inside the 10, inside the 5, and into the end zone for a touchdown. Stahl made a nice little cut to his right. Good vision, good quick footwork, and Wausau East with a very impressive drive takes a 6-0 lead.
That was the exact same play that they had probably about 2 or 3 places before where we just didn't make that cut right away. He made a beautiful cut there, and you can see the hole develop from our angle.
So now the Lumberjacks, Gio Gomez, will come out and attempt the PAT. And after a little high, but good grab, the kick is up, and the kick is good. 2 minutes and 27 seconds to go in the first quarter. It is Wausau East 7, Mosinee nothing. Kick
kickoff coming up in 30 seconds here on 98.9 WXCO.
Looking to bring a little touch of Vegas to the neighborhood? On October 18th from 2 to 8 p.m., the annual Pub Crawl Bingo invites guests to join the fun at Callan Street Pub, Matt's 101 Pub, LT Club, and Chatterbox Bar. It promises an afternoon packed with drinks, prizes, and a bit of Sin City sparkle, all in support of St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Early registration is just $10 at any participating bar. Don't miss the excitement. It's bingo, it's a crawl, it's Vegas right at home.
East 227 in the first quarter. That was a 15-play drive for Wausau East, and that's a pretty good way to start things off.
Really impressive drive, and when you usually have 15 plays, you have a mistake in there, a huge mistake, and they never had a huge mistake in there. That was a well-orchestrated drive to start the game. A
couple of long yardage conversions, one on third down and another on fourth down as well. So again, they pretty much did everything. They threw the ball eight times on that drive, and then they ran it seven times in a 7-0 lead for East. Here's the approach and the kickoff is a line drive angle to the near side. It'll be taken at about the 10, up to the 15, to the 20, to the 25, to the 30, near sideline to the 35, to the 40, and pushed out of bounds beyond the 40-yard line. And bringing that one back for Moses Knee with Bryce and Sisyphus. And a pretty good field position coming up for Moses Knee. So Moses Knee will take over to try to respond. They did move the ball effectively on their first series, and it will be right at the 40-yard line first and 10. Moses and Neon on their first drive, they had the ball for seven plays. So both teams, really, I would say, they were able to move the football effectively. 2:20 to go in the first quarter, 7-0 Wausau East. Three receiver set, and then a short pistol look for the Moses and Neon squad, but a flag at the snap. And that's some early movement. So that will push Moses and Neon back to the 35-yard line versus 15.
And that's what you want for if you're Wausau East. You want to get them in that situation first and 15 and then second and 10 and make them do things that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, in the high school game, it's so vital to stay ahead of the sticks.
Yep.
And now, but the first down, 15 yards to go. Between Stoppel and the huddle will give his teammates the play. Again, it's senior night. And one of those seniors is Tree Stoppel from Rosen 8. Football on the right hand half. Two receivers on the short side of the field. One flip to the left. Again, Stoppel takes the snap. Stoppel, quarterback will run up the middle. He'll be hit. He'll be brought down rather quickly after a gain of two, maybe 2.5 yards on the play. Again, Aiden Kilby in on the play for Wausau East. Also, a big defensive tackle, Miles Mallory, in on the play as well. And there's a flag down as well.
Really late. That'll be an interesting call here.
Referee will let us know. Personal foul, face mask on East.
Personal foul, face mask.
That was a tough one for East because they did a nice job that time of after Stoppel kept the football on the left-hand side of the front, holding it to a 3-yard gain. So instead of second down and a dozen, that'll be a 15-yard mark off and give Moses Knee a first down.
And it didn't seem like it affected the play. You know what I mean? Like they had two or three guys that really did a nice job of containing him, and they must have got a hand on the face mask.
So that 15-yard mark off puts Moses Knee into the Wausau East territory, first and 10 at the 47-yard line. Moses Knee will come out with three receivers to the left-hand side, one to the right. Stoppel takes a snap, hand off to the fullback. Ooh, and a big stick. Again, and it's Kilby coming in to wrap up the back. Getting to the first play for Moses Knee was number 25. That is Landon Tim. It will be a pickup of 4 yards on the play, but boy, again, Kilby came in there real good stick, pushing back a couple of yards.
Yeah, he's looking at junior, right?
Yep.
He stayed to his key, came down and met him in a hole, and he delivered a hit.
And then he's getting noticed. Again, I practiced this talking in and some... The college is already taking a peek. They've seen what he's been able to do early this season. Second down and six now for Moses Knee. Tree Stoppel, motion to the left. Stoppel takes the snap, handoff. Again, up the middle, big opening inside the 40 to the 35-yard line. And again, is Landon Kim. Straight up the middle, found that seam. That will move the sticks after an 8-yard pickup. Standard climb with a tackle for Wausau East.
And when they're running an offense, if you're worried about Stoffel, they're going to give that to the fullback, and until you stop the fullback. Once you stop the fullback, then Stoffel will pull that out and go to the outside.
But the second time in this first quarter, Most of the moving into Wausau East territory. 45 seconds to go in the period. First and 10 from the Wausau East 35, but the Lumberjacks have a 7-0 lead. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Again, that short pistol for Tree Stoffel. Lone running back, but now motion. There's a big hand up, looking to throw Stoffel. There's a number of hands wide open, complete to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for a touchdown is Jerick Seeger. Seeger was left all by himself. Nobody within 10 yards. Took it in stride at the 10, drops it into the end zone, 35 yards, and now Moses may get a chance to tie with the extra point.
And what happens is the lowly end with that fullback, coming down the middle, and then he pulled it out, and what was on the play with the ball remote?
Yep, that's it's all setting things up. As a play caller, again, you're trying to set up those exact kinds of situations, aren't you?
Yes, and they did it.
So now an extra point is Moses will try to tie it up. We have to wait a while to get this one underway, but it's been a very entertaining first quarter. Here comes the kick. It is up, and it is good. Putting it in the groove for Moses was Gus Miller. And with 25 seconds to go in the first quarter, it's now 7-7. Wausau East is Moses. We will have the kickoff coming up in 30 seconds. This is Wausau East High School football on 98.9 WXCO.
Craving flavor, fun, and a little hometown flair? Welcome to the Mill Yard, Wausau's hottest country bar and grill since 2023. We've been serving up legendary fish fry Fridays, mouth-watering roasted chicken, juicy signature burgers, and can't miss daily specials. It's more than food, it's an experience.